All right, everybody, welcome to the Social Marketing Hour. I have another great guest with us today, somebody that has been a friend of mine for quite a while already, and she is amazing, one of my favorite people in the world. She is the prepared performer, Molly Mahoney, and we're here to provide value to you in the subject of content and the subject of how to get attention at scale. And she is doing a great job in this area, and she's been doing so for a long time. So Molly, welcome to the show today.
Hey, I am so excited to be here with you today because your brain works just as fast as mine and you have so many cool ideas. So I know magic is going to happen.
Absolutely. I think we had our first ever meeting, interview. You interviewed me in that case was you interviewing me. It was a Manny Chat interview, and that was a few years ago. Crazy, but I think it goes back 3.5 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, I think it was 2018 or 19. I don't remember which one.
Something like that.
A while now.
But you know, something that I found very interesting, like sometimes you really click with people that you're interviewing, and you and I had a great chemistry, and it was just back and forth, and it was dynamic, and it was awesome. And I said, wow, that was a powerful interview right there. I think I got more value from you than what I gave you, but it was overall very, very awesome for sure. It's great to have you here on the show, Molly. Tell me a little bit about what you have been doing for the last few years, and what are you working on, and what are you obsessed right now these days?
Yeah. So over the past few years, actually, we've made a big shift, which is kind of an interesting shift. So we started off mainly helping people with their video, which obviously you are so great at, and helping people to create content online, you know, also as a human, how to show up on camera, and then also how to actually use that strategically when you're posting your videos online. And what we realized in the past year or so is that it doesn't really matter if you have a lot of videos if you don't actually know what to do after you start to bring in that engagement. So we've shifted our strategy, and we're really focused more on sales now. We've recognized, as you know, that video is really, like, everyone needs to be doing video. So it's not this new novel concept anymore. It's like, if you're not doing video, what are you doing? I think I heard you say something like, I think you were joking, but you said, like, if you're not posting 3 to 5 times a day, you're being lazy. Right. So if you're not doing video,
I wasn't joking.
Okay, good, good. Now that we've cleared it out, cleared that up. So, you know, if you're not posting videos, if you're not recording videos as a part of your marketing strategy, what are you doing? And so what we've really focused in on is how to turn those videos into sales and different ways that we can optimize all of the activities that we're doing online so that it's something that we can do with less effort and have more fun and more time for our families, and just make sure that we're really systematizing while showing up as a unique individual human being. So
I love it. And I know we're family people. I know you have a husband and you got a couple of kids, right, too?
Yeah. So I have two kiddos. One that I told you just turned 11. So Frank, he's named after his grandpa, Francisco Jorge Dominguez. I don't know if you know that, but
that's my father's name.
I love it so much. I think we've talked about it before. Yeah. So yeah, that's Frankie. And then his little brother, Charleston.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, I got four, right? I think I told
you.
Yeah,
I know. I've met some of them, like, in passing.
That's right. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So, Molly, that's an interesting approach that you have right now going on, because I know you've made some content go viral. But at the end of the day, right, what's the value of viral content when you don't know what to sell to people, or you don't know what to put in front of people?
Well,
right?
and taking control of it on your own side too, right? So we had one video that hit a reach of 39 million organically, which was kind of a test just to kind of see if it would work. And Facebook actually paid us $36,000 for that one video. It was so cool. But then I realized the content in that video was not really what I wanted to be focused on. It was me just kind of playing around with reels and seeing what would work. And
although it was a nice chunk of change, it was
to get that little check from Facebook. I mean, it was pretty cool, but it was like, do I then double down on these more viral type videos, or do I maybe focus on things that are potentially going to reach a smaller audience, but also make that deeper, bigger difference? So what you do is such an awesome combination of both. So when you can find the thing that is something that you're passionate about, and, like, you know, all the help that your dad created in those videos too, you're so lucky when you can find something that you're really passionate about like that, that has that virality, which is really cool too. So
yeah, absolutely. So it's a different strategy, different approach, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a brand or a product that you want to build, then the content has a purpose. And that purpose of that content is to help you get attention for eventually that brand. Now, it starts with, like, obviously you want to gain people's attention with value. But what you do is, what you've done in the past with that example of 39 million views organically, that's a strategy on its own, right? Because obviously there's a lot more people out there that are great influencers and they know how to get attention at scale, but they don't know how to build a brand. And I'm actually working on that a little bit. I'm trying to help people understand how to build a brand themselves, because that takes anybody that's good communicator into brand building. That's a great, great overall transition.
And having a full client journey where they're coming in through a certain, you know, they come in through the content that you're creating perhaps, and then where are they going from there? So making sure that you are solid in that. Sometimes it's not necessarily, like, it's important to have things out in the world on your website or whatever, but I find what's even more important than that is how you have it aligned in your own human self so that you can actually explain it clearly and you can stand in your value when you're making offers and things like that. So
absolutely. Yeah. Molly, there's a concept that you might have heard me talk about when I presented at Traffic and Conversions. Okay. And I want to hear your thoughts on that. And you have worked with many people over the years. You have seen a lot of people create content. This is a world that you've been living on for a long time. So here's what I believe in. I believe that there's such a thing called a content unicorn, which is a person has a very unique ability to communicate. They might not know marketing as much. They might not know distribution as much, but man, do they know how to communicate. For example, my father was a content unicorn. Mm-hmm. If you don't put me into the equation, he wouldn't have accomplished what he's accomplished. With Dr. Berg, the same thing, content unicorn. But then you get somebody like myself that knows distribution and then we figure it out. Do you believe that, I believe that only a small percentage of people in this world have the ability to communicate at that level. What is your thought in regards to becoming a content creator that's unique, content unicorn that knows how to communicate at scale and grab attention, that all they got to do is figure out distribution after they figure out how to communicate themselves? Have you seen a lot of content unicorns? Do you think that they can actually continuously be created? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, I thought this was actually something that was a great differentiator that you made when you spoke at Traffic and Conversion, because I think a lot of people are saying that anyone can do this, and it makes it sound like, oh, I just show up and put videos out there and it's fine. And I do believe that there is a skill set there. I do believe that some people are naturally gifted in the way that they communicate. I also think that it's something that you can commit to and learn how to develop that skill. So, like, one of our members, a private client of ours, I don't know if I talked to you about her, but her name's Dr. E. And she had a video on TikTok recently that hit 3 million. And I would say she is someone that I see as a content. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. She booked 122 calls in one day.
Wow.
By the end of the week, they had booked 400 calls through one TikTok video.
Yeah, and I like to emphasize this point for everybody, right? So 3 million views. Some people are saying, okay, but what's the purpose of that? Well, the thing is that Dr. E has an actual service. So now she can present to them, like, listen, I can help you. So it's a numbers game, right? Because some people say, well, what's the purpose of the million views? Well, a small percentage of these people are going to jump into the next level of engagement with you. So this person that took a video, they got 3 million views, and now she got a lot of book calls from that video. And that's where the value of attention comes in.
And then that just starts, as you know, the whole process of, like, follow up and booking, and actually what happens on those, getting them to show up for the calls, and then what happens on those calls. You know, so there's a whole process after that as well. And there's always a way to optimize each step of the way. And what she actually focused on first, before she even really started focusing on TikTok, was how to communicate in these videos. So we worked with her. She's a full-on expert, someone who was serving, I think, 80 patients a day.
Wow.
And then launched this coaching business next to that. And it's a different thing when we're talking in a call like this, or, you know, even in a more interview type setting, or with our patients or with our clients, depending on what you're doing in your business. That's different than the skill set of speaking into a camera, which feels really awkward and weird, and, you know, making sure that you are bringing people along for the journey, that you're connecting deeply. There's so many different things that we can do to up-level that communication skill to make you a unicorn.
That's really valuable. So I want to talk about that a little bit more, because one of the favorite things that I do here at AGM, which happens to be called attention grabbing media. That's what we do, attention at scale. My favorite clients are the ones that are these content unicorns, but it would be so awesome that you can create a lot more content unicorns and then I can service them.
Oh my gosh, magical. I love it, because I don't want to do the part that you do. So I think that's such a perfect partnership. Let's do
Absolutely. Because once you make them a content unicorn, like we develop a system around this content unicorn. And I like to describe, and this is something that I'm sure you agree with, like the process of becoming a content unicorn requires three major steps. And these are the exact sequence of steps.
Okay.
You got to commit first.
Commitment. And that is one thing. Let's talk about Dr. E was like the most committed client we've ever had. So amen to that. Yes.
That's right. So you obviously know that a lot of people fail because they have this obsession with the vanity of like, I want to get the likes and the comments and the engagement and the interaction. And then they start doing it for maybe 6 weeks and then they don't see the minutes come
in. They'll do one video. And if it doesn't have a million likes on it, then they're
That's right.
So yeah.
It doesn't work and they fall apart. And that's why, again, we go back into, that's why you're a content unicorn, because the content unicorns, my dad was a good example of that. He spent a good year creating content with nobody watching. This is a great communicator. So a whole year talking to himself, like an old man, feeling like an old guy, like going crazy because he's just talking to a camera and nobody's paying attention. That commitment is an absolute requirement, right? And you got to be like, I'm all in, right?
And you get better and better the more that you talk. So I actually ran a program with Les Brown and his son for about a year called Hunger to Speak. And one of the things that Les said again and again and again is that speakers speak. So if you think the first time you do a video, just because you've done it, like you said, for 6 weeks, that's just scratching the surface. The fact, and I'm sure you have experienced this for yourself as well, the fact that I've done so many videos every week for like 5 years now, that helps me to be a better communicator so that I can jump into a podcast interview and feel solid in the way that I'm going to communicate because I've had all of this practice. And I prefer to practice out loud because then you have that extra pressure of the chance that someone may be watching you. It's important to practice behind the scenes, but I also believe you need to actually get onto the stage, get onto the camera and do things in real life. So the commitment thing, yes.
That is a great point right there. So for everybody listening to this, watching this, practicing out loud, that is a major thing. So there's no better way to do it than just getting it out in the open and just getting it going, right?
Yeah.
That's the way it is. So commitment is number one. That leads towards the second part of it, which is also very, very vital. And again, any of these points drop off and you're not becoming a content unicorn, period.
Yep.
Number two is quality of the message. So again, like you said yourself, I like how you described that this is something that you got to know that you're going to get better yourself. You're going to improve with time. And it's all just like riding a bike. You get better with the more that you try to ride that bike.
Yeah.
So when you get the commitment going and you're like doing it consistently because you're in it for the long run, that first year is not about yourself. It's not about the audience. It's about you. More than anything, if you get lucky like Dr. E and you go viral on a video, then that's bonus. But other than that, at the beginning, you're doing it for yourself.
Yep.
Once you get that commitment in place, then we move into quality. And the quality of the message, I'm not talking about a beautiful background like you have yourself right now. So beautiful. You got the glam, the perfect performer, you got the lights.
And maybe, I don't know if some people are listening to this and they can't see the fancy background. We did $3 million in collected revenue before I even used a fancy camera. Everything was done just on my webcam. So I'm so glad that you said this because I know your videos are such good quality and some people may see what you're doing and feel like they can't even get started until they've spent all this money on camera equipment. But your message, the quality of your message, like you said, is so much more important when you're first getting started because if you have a fancy camera and a fancy background and your content stinks, if you have amazing content and it's a little bit sloppy, people will give you, you know, they'll give you the benefit of the doubt. And then you can up level when you're ready to like, when once you are that unicorn and ready for Manny to put yourself all over the place.
100%. So you did $3 million. That's a big number. I did, before I got into the fancy equipment here, $120 million of revenue.
You are cuckoo. I love it.
So
crazy.
When you interviewed me 3.5 years ago or so, whenever that was, you should have seen my office, Molly. All right. I actually was in a little small office. I had a, I bought some paint, true story. Right? I don't think I've ever told this story before, but I bought whiteboard paint. Do you even know what that is?
Oh, whiteboard paint? I don't have whiteboard paint, but I've got like a stick-on whiteboard on my wall over here. So I kind of know what you mean. It turns your wall into a whiteboard, right?
Totally. It was the crappiest setup ever. That's not the whole picture. So I had a small little desk, which was a $100 desk from Costco. And I had my older MacBook. I was always at Mac. And I put the whiteboard paint in the back. I painted it myself. And I had some crappy markers. And I used to do content and just turn around and draw something on my whiteboard. And then you wouldn't see this, but 2 feet away from it in front of the desk, I bought a $20 green bed sheet from Amazon. And
oh my gosh, I love it.
Put the green screen. It didn't look like it. I sold $2.5 million of a digital course with a $20 Amazon green bed sheet.
Good.
So, you know, I think we have a similar journey like that, right? You build yourself up wherever you are in the journey to something like this, right?
And again, the most important thing though is that you actually start, like you make that decision and you have that commitment. So
that's right.
Yeah, I love it. So the commitment and the quality of the message, so good. I totally agree on both of those.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about, let me explain to you what I mean by quality also. So I know that I do not mean this, right? I don't mean a fancy setup. What I do mean is having valuable information to give out.
Yep.
Because the social media platforms are not platforms for you to sell stuff, are platforms for you to connect with people before you try to get them to buy your stuff. So having a beginning message that actually has a clear communication that this is what you're going to get by listening to me, and having an ending to that message that whenever they finish listening to that video, they feel a little bit better in whatever area it is that you're giving them. And that is applicable to any particular industry. So what are your thoughts on what I mean by quality, Molly?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is about the way that you structure the information that you're sharing. So you're taking people on this journey, right? So that's kind of more in the delivery side of it. And within the content that you're sharing itself, we love to look at this concept of the tree of beliefs. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the ladder of inference, I think maybe it may be called the ladder of beliefs. Other places we call it a tree because it's like you're sprinkling these little seeds. And so what you want to do is know who you're speaking to and know what you want them to do as a result of listening to your content or reading your content, because this can work in written form as well. And then figure out where are they right now in their belief system and where do you need to get them to in order to do that next thing. So a lot of people will look just at the product they want to sell, but there's oftentimes a lot of little micro commitments that we want to get people to agree to or buy into, beliefs we want them to buy into before they actually decide to buy. And so there's a bunch of different beliefs that we look at. The main ones are why me, meaning why them as a human being. And you did such a great job of this at Traffic and Conversion when we were speaking there, talking about the legacy piece and wanting to make sure that, you know, you're leaving an impact and telling your dad's story and all of that. That's a really great why me belief for someone who may not know their next best step in their marketing, but they really just know they want to make that impact that lasts, right? So that was an awesome why me belief. The why this is like why the thing that you're offering or the thing you want them to do. So whether it's coaching or done for you or video or whatever it is, right? What's the why this? Then the why you, and the why you is about the person who is the expert, the person who is speaking. So you means like you, the human being who's the expert. What do they need to believe about you? Even at the beginning of this interview, mentioning the family stuff, you know, there's different things about us that we can, even like the journey from having that $20 Amazon sheet to where you are now, that's going to tap into the why me and the why you, because it shows your commitment to the journey. And then we also really love to look at the why now. And the why now is explaining both why now in the world and like what's happening around us. It could be seasonally. It could be, you know, if there's like stuff in the news that's happening. It also is what's happening why now in their life. So if someone is, you know, moving through a transition with their kids going off to college and now they're an empty nester, there's going to be a different why now there than there would be to someone who doesn't have kids at all, right? So that's the why now. And then the final thing that I love to look at is the
why me, why this, why you, why now?
Yep. And then the final one is why not? So what are the objections that they have to purchasing, and how can you address that in your content And when you have all of those pieces in place, then what happens is people start to feel connected. They start to feel like, oh, this person gets me. And they're more likely to continue watching, and they're more likely to actually buy or do whatever it is you want them to do.
I love it. That's powerful. So it's almost like I want to just print out a poster on this. Why me? Why this? Why you? Why now? Did I miss one?
Okay. Why me? Why this? Why you? Why now? And why not?
Why not? That's great. Yeah. So structuring your content around that particular formula right there.
Do you... And then we map out all like loads of why me, loads of why you, loads of each of those. And then we come up with topics that speak to or stretch or squish that belief, whichever way it is that you need to go with that. And then how do you come up with the titles and the topics and the content that's based on those beliefs so that you're always tapping into where that person is at and where you want them to be?
That's awesome. I love it. So Molly, in that particular process of becoming that content creator, do you have to work a lot with the shyness of people? Is that something?
Yeah, totally.
I can tell you myself, I've always been an extrovert, always been an extrovert. I've always loved audiences and talking to people and getting attention. I've always loved attention.
Yeah. I don't doubt that.
Right. You already know me enough to know that when I used to play tennis, because I played tennis since I was a little kid, my highlights was having my family come see me play.
Yep.
And I just really enjoyed people looking at me and just giving me an opportunity for me to do something special. So I didn't have a problem with that. But even myself, my first stage ever, you and I started similar around the same time. I started 6 years ago. My first stage ever was 2017. I went to a conference to speak in front of 50 people that are paying $10,000 a seat to be there. This is an Amazon sellers community. One of my mentors, his name is Ben Cummings. He brought me to the stage and I was trembling. I was shaking. I didn't know what the heck I was doing.
Isn't that wild?
It's crazy. So this is from an extrovert, right? That is used to talking to people. I had this, imposter syndrome. I had a big, like I get on that stage and I'm like, what the heck am I doing here?
Yep.
I got to get out of here right now. So I spent the good first 20 seconds of that presentation. I was like, I don't belong here. Mm-hmm. And so if I go through that, I have met more introverts than extroverts.
Yep.
How do you get through to that? Because, I have a great content unicorn. My father was like me. He was an extrovert. He was definitely an extrovert. But I have another guy who's a content unicorn, Dr. Eric Berg. He actually took a public speaking fear course.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. When you think about one of the top health influencers on the planet right now, he was terrified of audiences. So how do you get through? Because that's the majority of people out there don't want to have this background. They don't want to be on the camera, which they have the goal. They want to build a legacy. They want attention. They want to build their brands. They understand the value of attention, but they cannot muster up the courage to start doing it consistently on the camera.
So there's actually three things about this. One is I have a framework that I'll give you. We call it the quesadilla of awesome. It's really good. I don't know.
That sounds very Molly. The quesadilla of awesome. Love it.
I know. So we'll cover that. Also, I actually have a good friend who has a huge YouTube channel. It's a finance thing. They talk about stocks and stuff. And he's very comfortable on camera, very confident. And he reached out to me a couple months ago and said, you know what? I have had this weird thing happen where all of a sudden, every time I turn on the camera, I'm totally freaked out, because he had a batch of, I think it was just one person actually, who was creating multiple accounts and trolling his videos. Mm. And so this one person somehow had the power to put him in this imposter syndrome in his head. And so I just want to recognize that sometimes it comes even after you've already been confident. There's something that someone says or something that you accidentally say that knocks you out and it gets into your head. So give yourself grace if you're feeling that way. And then the other thing is, I think of the lyrics in this song. It's called Farther to Fall by David Wilcox. Kind of random, but he talks about the balance is no harder. It's just that you've got farther. Now you've just got farther to fall. That sometimes as we grow and we're on bigger and better stages, it's like, oh, okay, but it was fine.
Can you please say that again? Say the line again.
Yeah. He says, the balance is no harder. It's just that you've got farther. Now you've just got farther to fall.
Wow, that's deep.
And I take parkour classes with my kids, and usually it's like climbing up walls and doing things where you're jumping and landing and rolling on the floor. And the last class that we took, they actually had us balance on like scaffolding beams, very thin beams. And we started just a little bit off the ground, and then they had us move up to the one on top, and you're supposed to stand on there with 1 foot for 10 seconds.
Wow.
And I kept replaying those lyrics in my head the whole time that I was up there. And it was such a great visceral reminder of what we go through as creators. I mean, we're doing some ads right now, and most of the stuff that I do is organic, but it's funny, as soon as you turn those ads on, those trolls are out in full effect, and you have to get to a, or they can be, they're not necessarily always going to be, but you've got to get yourself to a place where that kind of stuff doesn't shake you. So you can be standing up on that scaffolding bar, and if the wind starts blowing, you're so solid in who you are as a human being, it doesn't matter. And that's where our exercise comes into play. Do you want to hear what it is?
I love it. Let me just add a little element to that particular thing. Which I believe is, it might help some people understand that, that it was my realization on the way about the trollers, the haters, et cetera.
Yep.
These people, I just feel sympathy and I feel sorry for them. I really do. I truly, honestly, sincerely, I don't feel anger or upset towards them. I really don't. I have gotten to a point in which I understand enough that the humanity of it, because these people are so miserable inside, that they got to stop whatever they're doing to hate on somebody else. If you just think about that for a second, if you just really understand the trouble that the world has, because there's a lot of trouble, there's a lot of misery, broken marriages, abandoned children, drug addiction, like people that have gone through so much trouble, it's incredible. But for you to be able to get in the mindset to go and, like, you see Molly Mahoney giving value, and she's just really just educating and she's inspiring people. And for somebody to go and troll on her stuff, they have to be so unhappy internally. And that's all it is. So the more that you understand that, the faster it becomes for you to be able to accept it, that it's an inevitable part of this journey. That for me makes it easy. Sometimes I feel like engaging and responding to them. Sometimes when it gets a little bit out of control, because you can't really win a war with a troller, I just go ahead and block them. I don't know if
sometimes I block, but I will say, because I'm so glad you're mentioning this, because it's been coming up a lot in my community as well. So I'm excited to share this with them. And it's something that I've actually had requests recently on how to deal with them, because I have the same mindset that you do, where I really do feel sympathy for them. I feel empathy. I feel like you must be going through something so tough in order to stop your day and write something mean on someone else's content. And when they're being brave and putting themselves out there, whether it's super valuable or not, like for you to take the time to write something rude on someone else's stuff, unless it's something that's creating hate in the world or something. But we had, I don't know if you saw this, but we had someone comment on one of my videos a couple of weeks ago, and they said in the chat, they said, you talk too much. It's how you make money and it's annoying.
Wow.
Okay. What's the comment? Wow. And I am at the point now where it's very rare that I get my feelings hurt from them. For the most part, I get more excited about how I'm going to be able to respond and how I'm going to then use that to help other people to feel better about their own content. So I had responded and said like something kind that was like, you know, as you can see, lots of people here are getting value from this video. Totally good. If, you know, go on and do your own stuff, whatever. I write something that's like nice back to them. What we ended up doing, did you see the Halloween costume meme that was like, put a picture of yourself or something and then write what the costume would be? Did you see this meme that was going around?
I haven't seen it, no.
Okay, so it's basically like...
Oh, yeah. No, it went super crazy, right? Everybody started doing their own version with the bullet points and stuff like that.
Yeah. So people were putting a picture of themselves in there, and then it would say, you know, like video content creator, and here's all the ways you can dress up as a video content creator, right? So my team sent me the empty blank one and they were like, we should do this. And I said, yeah, I've seen it. I just can't think of anything that's funny. And so we kept going back and forth. And then finally I realized if I could make fun of myself in it, then that would actually be funny, because I'd be putting it out there, making fun of myself, not like using it to brag about anything.
Right.
So I said, what if we use that troll comment about me talking too much and that's how I make money, whatever. So I went to my husband and I said, okay, if you were going to make a costume based on this comment, what would you call me? And he said, I'd call you a chatty money bags marketer. So, or chatty money bags marketing coach. That's what it was. So
that's
we
a
took
good
this
one.
Picture of me, like in these like fancy sparkly pants, which you know I love to wear. And then it said chatty money bags marketer. And then it had all of these things like 20 pairs of sparkly pants, 200 talks too much templates. And then it was like one banana phone, because I love my banana phone that I use all the time. And then it said not included. This was also my husband. Not included car keys. She can't find them. So I kind of became my own troll. It is our highest performing post all year, like the most engagement, because I posted it and said, like, you know, for those whatever inspired by feedback that I got on a YouTube video lately, and we put the actual comment in the top of it. And if you can find ways that you can play with in a loving way, not being snarky or rude, but you can play with the people who are coming from that place of pain and leaving comments like that on your videos, you're going to actually love it when you get comments like that.
Absolutely. It becomes a game. I love it. By the way, did you purchase the domain Shady Money Bags?
Shady Money Bags Marketer. Oh my gosh. Shoot. I'm going to go do it right now.
You
don't
need to purchase that. It's probably available. All right.
I have so many domains.
So purchase it before somebody watches the video and tries to steal your identity and go down that route themselves.
I got it.
That's yours. That's awesome, Molly. I love it. So, okay, good. So we talked about the first two, which is commitment. You got to put that in place. The quality of the message. And then the last but not least, once you get those things fully figured out, you move into quantity. And you know, I talk a lot about quantity.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
I have the evidence of the strategy. A lot of people focus on like, I'm going to put only one video every 10 lifetimes because I really want to create a quality message. But you got to understand that the platforms on social media are so flimsy and they're so passing that when you put a video out there, it's gone forever, right? Except on the platform that I like to always obviously push people to create content, which is YouTube. Because on YouTube, you know, our grandkids, Molly, could be watching this video right now. Somebody might be asking, so Frank has your grandkid in the future. And little Frankie wants to find out, how did my grandma build her business? And they could be watching this video right now. So you can say, hi, little Frankie, right? Like that is the cool thing about YouTube, because people will keep on finding your content for literally ages. People today find videos that we did in 2013 on YouTube and they go and they buy our products from that almost a decade after we created that video. So it is something that is unique to the platform because it is that search engine aspect to it. But on the other part of the world, on social media, it is very flimsy. You put something on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, on LinkedIn, it's gone forever. Like, well, you can search for it.
There's ways that you can revive it. So I agree with you. And we have a couple of strategies that we use that are super easy that help to bring people back to our videos. They're not necessarily finding them through search like they do on YouTube. But if you are strategic about it and you weave it into your overall content plan, and I don't mean reposting natively, I mean actually, or even like posting a link. I mean, like I'll do a post that says, oh, I totally forgot. I have a video on how to hit 10K months without ads. Do you want it? Then we get loads of comments on that post. And then we just go in and we send them back the original video. So we have ways of bringing back those original videos, but you're right in that it does, most of the time it does need some sort of manual or automated reminder that it exists, like sending it out in an email newsletter. And I will say also, now that Facebook has the ability to pin posts to the top of a profile, a page, a group or whatever, or even in the guides in a Facebook group, I have a post that I did in 2020, over a year ago, it was in 2021. I did it over a year ago, and that post has over 1,000 comments on it of people wanting more information. And the reason that it keeps getting more reach is because it's pinned on my personal profile. So even if you did a piece of content a long time ago, if you continue to keep it in a place where it is still visible and you bring people back to it, it's not obviously as good as YouTube and the fact that people can search and find it, but there are ways that you can revive those pieces of content as well.
Makes sense. That's a hot tip right there. So Molly, let's talk a little bit about quantity of message. What are your thoughts on that? Because you get to work with a lot of people in this particular area. So we got already the commitment. We got the quality of the message. We know that our message is impacting people and helping them. How can we step up our game and impact people at a larger scale? What would you do?
So one thing that I've been talking about with quantity that I think you're going to love recently is this idea of brushing your teeth. So if you brush your teeth once a day, so I'm teaching this high school musical theater, not musical theater. Oh my gosh, that's not what I meant. I'm teaching a high school social media marketing.
I will be part of it. I wanna learn from you a musical theater. That would be freaking epic. Absolutely.
That was my past life. I definitely have taught loads of eons of years of musical theater, but I'm not doing that now. I'm teaching social media marketing at our local arts high school, which has been a really fun experience. And I said to them, I said, okay, how many of you here brushed your teeth this morning? And everybody raised their hand. I don't know how honest they actually were being, but everybody raised their hand. And then I said, how many of you are also planning to brush your teeth tonight? Everybody raised their hand except one girl who said, I've got rehearsal really late tonight and I may honestly fall asleep before I do it.
Honesty. Love it.
Yeah. But what I was saying to them is that, you know, you can decide if you want to brush your teeth once a day, once a week, or multiple times a day in order to keep your teeth clean and in order to, you know, increase the longevity of your teeth. It's the same thing with how you show up on social. So we have an exercise that we do with our clients. It takes 20 minutes a day. And I always say that this is like brushing your business teeth. You can show up and put stuff out there. If you dedicate at least 20 minutes a day, you're going to get something. But if you do more, you're going to get more. Right now, when it comes to the content creation side of things, I'd love to talk to you about it because this is a thing that comes up for a lot of our clients who are not at quite the scale that you're at, where they don't have the team to be able to create as much content as you are. What we help them to do is recognize they can just repost the same content again and again. So we love SmarterQ. I don't know if you know SmarterQ, and I'm hoping MetroCool will get this feature.
Is that a website and a software?
It's a software. It's like a content scheduling tool. And the thing that I love the most about it is that you can go in. So let's say you create 3 months of content on YouTube. And if you're a solopreneur and you're not someone who has a full awesome team like Manny can provide, and you're just creating your own content, you stay consistent for 3 months. At the end of that 3 months, you can actually go into SmarterQ, pull all of that content, make sure it's evergreen. So it doesn't say like today's Monday or happy Thanksgiving.
July 4th celebration or whatever, right?
And you can, in the click of a button, you can schedule like 50 posts at one time to go out. And I am blown away by this consistently. We just did it for my dad's tree trimming business. They sell wood slabs, and my brother and I were on a call about it. And I scheduled out 30 posts from old posts that they had already posted in the past because they weren't posting frequently enough. And I got on the call with him the following week and I said, okay, so how are the posts going? And he said, Molly, you have created my worst nightmare.
Wow.
I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, we are getting so many messages. We're getting so much engagement. It's awesome. But I'm like, what am I going to, you know, there's so much goodness coming.
You should correct him. You should be like, Molly, you have created a dream scenario. I got more attention than what I can handle.
I know, but he was.
We got to reframe that.
I agree with you. But yeah, so I think there are ways that you can leverage it. I just know that a lot of people see the idea of like 3 or 5 posts a day and they're like,
overwhelmed.
Yeah.
That concept. SmartIQ, is that smartiq.com? Because I think that's a really, really valuable advice right
there.
It's
Q-U-E-U-E.
Q-U-E, say it again.
It's smarter, Q, and then it's like the British spelling. So Q-U-E-U-E, like you're lining up in a queue.
Oh, wow. Q-U-E-U-E.
U-E is the way Q is spelled. Yeah.
Okay, I would have never figured that out myself.
I know.
SmartIQ.com. All right. That's cool. I think that's really, really valuable, especially when you don't have that machine. The machine that we build is usually an expensive machine because it has a lot of different parts to it.
Yeah.
You know, we got content directors and content miners and graphic designers and video editors and all these people. So I believe that's most definitely a great way to show life. Because here's the thing. When you show live on your social media profiles, you have a greater chance of people buying your products and services. That's just the way it is.
Like when they see that you are alive, they will be alive and click the button. So I think it's a good thing. Actually, so I'm doing something right now, which is this. I've got my phone over here so that I can have little clips of content going out also right now while we're doing this. So I think there's ways that Even if you don't have a full team, there's ways that you can get started with it. And then when you're ready for that full team, obviously Manny's the one that you would go to, because I don't know anybody else who builds out a machine the way that you do. It is awesome.
So yeah, leveraging these things, right? Otherwise it would be a waste. Like if Molly doesn't have that recording right there on her phone, this is 45 minutes so far of like straight fire. She's given so many different tips. So if you think about it, the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, right now, the content that is really taking off is a whole vertical short form content, which is 1 minute longs, 1.5 minutes, etc. So from this interview, her team can probably get 20 of those clips of her talking about it. So now you got like all this content being created around you. If she doesn't press that button, she misses out on that opportunity to create that content. So there's opportunities right in front of your face that we all can take advantage of. So that's
And other thing that I like to use as an example for that, especially for not necessarily value focused content, like not educational content, but if you are somewhere and you feel ooh, like in your own soul, capture it if you can and take it with you. I don't think this needs to be something that necessarily takes us out of the present moment with our loved ones, but if you see a beautiful sunset, take a photo or a video of it. You can turn that into a TikTok video or a reel so easily. Totally. So there's so many ways that we can capture these little moments and be a little mindful of the end result and how we can bring our community on the journey with us.
Amazing. I love it. So content, commitment, content quality, content quantity. Put those things in place. You use what Molly gave you as advice and you're going to win. Molly, I did interrupt you at some point or on the middle of the formula. And you were going to give us an example of a drill that you were using.
Yeah, the quesadilla of awesome. I didn't know if we wanted to use that as like a nugget to a carrot that was going to continue on. Yeah, so I'm super happy to give it to you. So
I don't think the audience was going to forgive me. Like, what about the quesadilla of awesome? Like, come on. Tell me about it.
You are going to love it. So this actually started when I was coaching musical theater performers, back to the musical theater thing, because I had people that were my students who had Broadway credits, who had huge TV credits. One of my students, actually, Sean OU, shout out to him. When he was five, he was in the top, was he five or he may have been eight. He was a little kid. He was one of the top five on the NBC Telemundo The Voice.
Wow.
He is like the most talented child I had ever met. And even still, like we were going to, he was in high school at this point when I was teaching him, and we were going to sing, he was going to sing the national anthem. I hope he's okay with me telling this story, but he's an adult now and he'll be fine with it. So he was going to sing the national anthem at this city event. And I remember sitting with him in the car with his mom before we went in, and he was so nervous. And I was like, you are the most talented human I have ever met in my life. And he was still feeling like, I'm going to mess up the words. You know, there was all these nerves that were coming up. And so we created this strategy for my musical theater performers, adults and kids. And then we realized it was something that was super valuable for business owners on camera too. So here's what you do. Can you play with me? Put your hands like this. I know we only have a little bit of time. Okay. So you're going to put your hands in a ball, and inside this ball, you're going to put all of the things that you offer in your business, all of the amazing things that go into your content, into your business. You got them in there?
I think so. It's a lot though. I got a lot.
Of different Maybe we got to make a bigger ball. Okay. And then we're going to take that and we're going to throw it in the air. Whoosh. Okay. And now, just like in Mikey TV on Willy Wonka, when he's like in getting into the TV, he's like,
keep my hands above. Keep them up here.
Yeah, you can keep your arms up there. I do this thing.
If you guys are listening to the podcast, you need to find a video on YouTube, all right? So you can watch this.
Okay, you can take your arms down. But all the things are floating up above us, all of our business magic benefits. And what are you left with?
What am I left with, Molly?
So sometimes people say nothing and then I get sad, but you're left with you, which
I'm left with myself.
You're left with you, which is both the most awesome and the most terrifying thing to be left with.
I can recreate it all again. I can get rid of all of it.
We'll bring it back. But before we bring it back, we've got to start with who you are as a human being. So what I have people do is I have them make a list of the 20 things that make them a uniquely amazing human being. And I always say that everyone has something that makes them uniquely awesome, even if it's just that you make a really great quesadilla, because you can put all kinds of things inside a quesadilla. So, you know, it's going to be your own recipe for awesome.
I love it.
Have an acronym, which is the word SAVE. It's five letters because I can't spell. And so I spell my acronyms wrong on purpose so that I don't feel silly about them and I don't get my own imposter syndrome about my bad spelling. So the acronym is SAAVE. And it covers your skill sets, the things that you're naturally gifted at, your appearance, because it doesn't matter what other people think about the way you look. It matters what you think about the way you look because of the gremlins that creep into the camera. So things about your appearance that you love, the activities that you love that are separate from your business. So knitting, crocheting, hiking, singing, dancing, whatever it is. What are those activities? Then your values. And we've talked a lot about this. I think it's why we connected so well, because we, even like the troll thing, most people don't feel that way about trolls.
Right.
But we both see them as human beings and we love on them, which is not something that's common. And I think it's why the people who we work with are drawn to us, because they know that we're not out here like scammy marketers. We're really here making a true impact. And that's,
you know, what's been, I can tell you about the whole troller thing. I've actually gotten people to, because I have engaged with some of them, and I get to make them realize that what they said is wrong. It hasn't happened much, but I have had people messaging me separately and apologizing and telling me that something was happening with them that day, that they don't know what it got to them or why they responded. I have actually had that experience several times, which has proven my theory that,
that
these people are struggling.
One person, I need to find this and screenshot it without their name. Someone sent me a message that said, I left a rude comment on your video and you replied with love, which I was not expecting. And he said, basically, you replied the way that Jesus would have replied. And it made me realize that I was wrong. And I was like,
wow. That's powerful. That's powerful.
Yeah. So I need to find that message, because I was like, not what I was expecting, but I mean, that's what would probably have happened if there were trolls back then.
100%. So save.
Okay, the final thing is, and then the E is the final thing. And the E is for things you like to eat. And if you can find polarizing food that you either really like or you really don't like and talk about it, it's going to instantly increase your engagement. So our favorite question to ask in this is, Brussels sprouts, yes or no, and use that as a regular face text only post, and boom, people are going to talk. So if you can find those things that you love to eat and weave them into your content, they become sticky, you become more confident, and it's that human bond, that connection that you can make with your community.
I love it. I saw that post one time. I did see you when you posted that a while back.
I mean, it's so popular. Look at this. I didn't even know we were talking about it. And I have five people have sent me in the mail the same dish towel that says every day I'm Brooklyn.
I'm Brooklyn. I love it. That's amazing. I love it, Molly. Amazing. Great interview. Loved having you here on the show. I know it's going to provide a lot of value to people. I have this big goal of helping a lot more people get into that journey and becoming content creators and building a legacy. I don't want them to get too old and say, I wish I would have started. I'm trying to get them inspired to get going. I know you have a similar mission yourself. So on your side, Molly, how can they connect? I know you mentioned that you have some value for the audience listening in if they wanted to get access to some of the stuff that you have going on. Tell us about that.
So I put together something really cool, and we actually just are in the middle of upgrading it. We took our top 100 posts from organic social media that have gotten the most comments, engagement, and actually sales as well. It's a mix of those types of posts. And I actually just updated it. So it now has 200 posts that you can go in, swipe the ideas, Mad Lib style, make them your own.
So go ahead and check that out. Molly.live/social hour. Molly, it's been a pleasure. We're going to have to do this again. A ton of value. We can talk more about the quesadilla of awesomeness. And I know you got a lot more things that you can talk about. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. I will see you on the next episode of the Social Marketing Hour.